Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
Well, it's almost the end of February. I understand it's going to be maple syrup season as of the end of this week. Sap's going to be running, so that's always good news. I always think when that hits, okay, we've almost made it. Congratulations to those first-year Canadians that are here. You did well. You made it through. That's awesome. And so I am thankful for rising temperatures. This morning I want to continue our series, like I indicated, that on things we need to be reminded of, and today I want to talk about reaching out to others. Reaching out to those who don't know Jesus. I have a friend who was pastoring a fairly large church in a mainline denomination. The church was booming, services were full, congregation was active, people were coming to know Jesus. Now, this wasn't the experience of most mainline churches, and so the denomination he was part of asked him, because of his experience and because the church was full, to sit on a committee on how to attract people to church. Well, my friend showed up at the committee, and he listened to them talk for a while, and then he says, I asked him this question. Why do you want people to come to church? He told me that the room grew very quiet. They eventually said, well, that's a good question. We're not sure. Let us get back to you on that. I want to look at reaching out to others this morning, but I want to start with why do it at all? See, we have a culture where religion is a private thing. It's a private matter, and, you know, we don't really talk about it. We live in a culture where the majority of people believe in God, but it's really not cool to believe in God, and it's especially not cool to believe in a Christian God, so why reach out? Well, here's what the Apostle Paul writes about why reach out. He says, Christ's love controls us, and since we believe that Christ died for all, and we also believe that we have all died to our old life, he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ, this means that everyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, the new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God's making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Paul says the reason I speak and the reason I reach out, because God loves, controls me. I love people, so I want them to hear about Jesus. We reach out because we love our neighbor. Paul says, I reach out because Jesus died for everyone, and I so desire that everyone would have new life. My hope is that they will experience the love of Jesus and the life of Jesus. Paul says that the reason I reach out is that God has given us this gift of reconciliation. He has made a way for us to come back to God and live in relationship with God. So that's why I reach out. And those are good reasons. For me, I would say, I found God to be worth knowing. He is an ever-present friend who is with us when life is good, when life is hard. I found him to be faithful, and I found him to be kind. And his love for me and for us still amazes me. Jesus brings the life that is truly life, and there is peace to be found in him that allows us to walk well in a chaotic world. There's a deep sense of well-being that the Bible calls joy that is found in him. And I want my friends and neighbors to experience that. Even when we walk through difficult portions of life, he can give us the grace to testify, "It is well with my soul." He is the good shepherd. He leads me into green pastures and beside still waters. And when life beats us up, he is still the one who restores our soul. And in fact, he can give us the grace when life is hard to say, "It is well with my soul." Oh, and I want people to know him. I'm the best version of myself when I reflect who God is. When I reflect his love and his grace and his holiness and his truth, I know that I'm living out who I was created to be. I don't have to find meaning for my life because he brings meaning to my life. And oh, I feel for those who have to search for meaning but don't find it. He gives us the power to live well in a broken world. I don't always avail myself of that power, but I know that that power is there. He gives us the strength and the tools to navigate the world in a way that brings about our good and his glory. He is very present even when we have questions. Sometimes life and God is a mystery. But he says, "I won't answer all your questions yet, but I will be with you in the middle of the questions." He is present in the challenges we face. He doesn't promise us an easy life. He doesn't promise us to take us out of our struggles, but he does promise us his presence and his strength to do more than just survive this life. And he brings us the life which is truly life. And when our time is over, Jesus tells us this: "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Jesus has promised us his eternal life. He promises us heaven. He promises us life with him, even though we die. Why reach out? Well, because God is worth knowing. Because God is who he is, and we are who we are. And he is worthy of our worship. And he longs for connection. And we desperately need connection with God. I know many of you have experienced what I'm talking about. You've come to the place where you believe that, well, God's way is the best way. You don't have all the answers, and you may not have worked everything out in your own life, but you know that you're less than perfect, but you have come to believe that, yeah, God's way, it's the way I need to go. It's the best way to go. That's a good reason to reach out. So the question is, how do you reach out? Well, let me use a metaphor that is often used in Scripture. I'll just read a portion of Matthew chapter 13. He told many stories, Jesus told stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen. Farmer went out to plant some seeds, and as he scattered them across the field, some seeds fell on the footpath, and the birds came and ate them, and other seeds fell on shallow soil and underlying rock, and the seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seed fell among thorns. that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, or 100 times as much as had been planted. Jesus, a little later on in that chapter, tells us that, well, the seed is the gospel. The seed of what is sown is the gospel. Let me read you from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. For everything there is a season, a time for everything under activity under heaven. There's a time to plant, and there's a time to harvest. I grew up on a farm in between Arnprior and Renfrew. And while I was growing up, we used to plant 100 acres of corn every year. There's a seasonal nature to farming. If you, in the fall, you plow the ground so that in the spring it's wet, ready to receive, be receptive to the seed. You plant seed in the spring. If you get enough rain and the raccoons don't come and destroy the crop and the weeds don't choke out the growth, and if there's no blight to attack and it gets enough water, it grows over summer. And come early fall, you harvest the corn. Reaching out to those who don't know Jesus is a lot like that. There's a time to plant and a time not to plant. There will be a time to harvest. There's a season to sow. You know, if you sow corn in the fall, you don't get much of a crop. There's a season to sow. There are times when people are open to God. There are times when they're not. There's a season, and I believe it comes to everybody's life, where you start asking questions about God. You can tell the season when they start to search for meaning or spiritual help or comfort, or sometimes they have no one to rely on, but they know they need to call out to God. Sometimes life gets hard and they want to turn to God, and when there's a little openness, that's the time to plant seeds. And you won't plant a seed and harvest on the same day. You may have the opportunity to harvest what somebody else has planted, but all you're called to do is respond to people where they're at. What does planting seed look like? Well, you heard Tim. He's talking to somebody, and he hears some issues. I'll pray for you. If you get really bold, I'll pray for you now. It may be telling a little bit about your story. And don't make it all about you, but make it out about how God met you in a way that would be helpful to them. I found that when I was going through a hard time that was similar to yours, it was helpful for me to talk to God. It's helpful for me to cry out to God. It might mean sharing your story of how you came to know the Lord, or how God brought you through a difficult part of your journey. It is in meeting people where they're at where you plant seeds. You have a relationship, and there's a time to speak. I found that most people really appreciate saying, yeah, I'll pray for you. If you know any Christian farmers, you will have met somebody who has spent a lot of time praying about the weather. You know? If you get a late frost, it can kill the plants that were just sprouting from the ground. If you get too much rain or not enough rain, it can devastate the crop. If you get blights or bugs, it can warp a crop. The crazy thing is that the only thing you can do is pray. You can plant seeds, but you can't make the seeds grow. And if you're growing a garden, you can plant and you can water. But you know that there are so many things that are outside your control. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it. He was another minister at the time. But God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God, only God, who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have the same purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You're co-workers. You're not responsible for making things grow, but you can plant seeds. You can encourage seeds by watering them. You can pray for the seeds, but God causes seeds to grow. So don't become over-responsible. You hope, and I hope, that the people will come to know Jesus in the way that we know Jesus. You plant the seed, but God is the one who makes it grow. For everything, there's a season, a time to plant and a time to harvest. Whether you're growing fields of corn or whether you're tending a garden, God willing, there will be a time to harvest. And it can be kind of depressing if you drive by a field of corn that hasn't been harvested before the snow has come and the blizzard has filled in the rows. Kind of sad to drive by a field where there's round bales out in the field, but you can just see them rotting and right where they're at. There is a time for harvest. In the same way, there's a time for harvesting in God's field. Here's what Jesus had to say. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray that the Lord, who is in charge of the harvest, ask to him to send more workers into the fields. Harvest is ripe, laborers are few, true then, true now. There is a lot of spiritual openness right now. Now, I get that people don't like church and organized religion and all that kind of stuff. And you're not trying to get them to buy into organized religion. You're asking them to follow Jesus. I don't know if you noticed, but our world's a little chaotic right now. We know what the future holds. We don't know what the future holds. The economy is questionable. Politics is crazy. Many of our institutions are at a breaking point. Our educational institutions, our legal institutions, our medical institutions. We live in a world that feels a little bit chaotic, and people are wondering, in the middle of this world, how do I become stable? What can I anchor my life with and to? And there are a fair number of people who are wondering, can I find a stability in this world through faith? And if we, the people of God, are living like being a non-anxious presence in the middle of a chaotic world, you're going to see more and more people say, oh yeah, that's what I would like right now. But Jesus also said the laborers are few. There is a danger that the crop will rot in the field. So Jesus said, pray for laborers. And there will be times in your spiritual journey when you will be the answer to that prayer. He'll send you as a laborer into the field. Because we are working on the Lord's field, we may be harvesting what somebody else has planted. You may be harvesting what somebody else has watered, and that's okay. We are co-laborers with God. So what does harvesting look like? People are saved by grace through faith. Harvesting helps people put their faith in Christ and express that faith. That might involve talking about God's plan of salvation. We were separated from God by sin. And because of that sin, we couldn't have a relationship with God. But Jesus died and took our sin upon himself so that we can can walk with the God of the universe. We can know him and he knows us, and we can walk into that relationship. You might, Harvest might be saying, yeah, listen, I just want to invite you to this place where I know you're going to hear how to connect with God in a way that you'll understand. Might be bringing a friend with you who knows how to present the gospel. There will be times in your life where there will be a harvest that only you can get to. There are people who will be people who you can connect with that I can't. Just a word about saving faith. You're saved by grace through faith. Faith in the Bible has never been about believing the right things. Believing the truth about who Jesus is and what he's done is important. But here's the thing. If faith were only about believing the right things, then the devil would be a Christian, because he believes all the right things. If faith was taking a theological exam and believing the right things, then if that's what made you a Christian, then the devil would be a Christian. Because the devil would score higher on a theological exam than I would. He knows the truth about God. He knows the truth about Jesus. Saving faith means believing in Jesus enough that you're willing to follow him. You're willing to go do what he says and go where he leads. We're saying, Jesus, I believe in you. We're saying, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. And so when we do that, we start to take on his qualities. It's kind of the difference between believing that a parachute will open. Yeah, I got the knowledge. I see how it was packed. It'll open. And jumping out of the plane, right? One is a theoretical knowledge. One is, I'm going to live in a way that this is true. When you lead people into faith, remember that. It's not about believing the right things. It's about following Jesus. There's a time to plant, time to water, and a time to harvest. So what does that mean for us here at Asbury? Well, here is what I would like you to do. I would like you to own the fact that you are a spiritual farmer, or own the fact that you're a spiritual gardener, if that helps you. Tim may be in banking, but he is a spiritual farmer. You may be in whatever realm you work in, but you're a spiritual farmer. Own that as an identity, because there will be time for you to plant seeds, and there will be times for you to water, and there will be times for you to harvest. And if you don't know your identity, you'll have a way of missing those times. See, if you see yourself only as a child of God and don't understand that your Heavenly Father is in the business of growing good things, you might miss out on part of your identity. You are in the family business. Own that. You're a spiritual farmer, a spiritual gardener. So here's two things you can do practically this week. Two prayers. First prayer is this. Lord, show me where I can plant your seed and give me the boldness to do so. I found when people start to pray this prayer, that they start to see places where they can plant seed. And when we don't pray this prayer, it's funny how there's not as many opportunities to plant seed. Lord, show me where I can plant your seed. Hey, I'm praying for you. Hey, I've been there, and God's helped me out. You know, I'm going to pray that he'll help you out. Lord, show me where there's places where I can plant seed, and give me the boldness to do so. That's the first prayer. Second prayer is that I encourage you to pray. Who should I be regularly praying for that they will come to know the Lord? Prayers like this are about plowing the field and getting it ready for planting. I expect that when you pray a prayer like that, that God will bring a name or two to your mind. Might be a neighbor or a friend. And you persist in prayer and you keep on praying. Sometimes I'm praying for people that I've been praying for years. But you trust God with that. But when God gives you some names, keep on praying. So my question to you is, will you own your identity as a spiritual gardener, as a spiritual farmer? So yeah, I know that's how God has made me. That's how I'm going to know that that's part of my identity. Are you willing to pray a prayer? Lord, show me where I can plant seeds and give me the boldness to do so. Are you willing to pray, Lord, who should I be regularly praying for that they will come to know you? Let us pray. Lord, you are so worth us reaching out, even when it's a little uncomfortable. Lord, we have found you to be good. And you've done an amazing thing in our lives. And Lord, we've seen you at work, and you've been with us for a lot of years. Lord, help us to own our identity. We're people who plant seeds, and we're people who water, and we're people who harvest. Lord, we pray this week for an opportunity to plant seeds. Open our eyes to the opportunity and give us the boldness to do that. Lord, would you bring to mind the people we should be praying for? Lord, we so long for our friends, our families, our neighbors, our town to come to know you. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.